welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. We opened up the program there with Liam O'Flynn on the Illan Pipes with Newfoundland. Ireland Calling is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and you're listening to us in Auckland on Planet FM on a Wednesday night, Christchurch Saturday night on Plains FM down there, Sunday afternoon on the Capital Coast, and Sunday evening on Wellington Access Radio. Greetings to everybody listening around New Zealand and around the world. We'll be here for the next hour. We'll bring you the latest news from Ireland. We'll play some good music. We'll bring you all the sports results from the weekend and fixtures for the weeks ahead. And as is the case in New Zealand, there's only one story that's dominating world news over the last 5-6 days. Well, in fact, a week, is the ongoing war between Iran and Israel, and obviously the continuing of the Ukraine war as well. So very worrying times indeed. But we'll try to stick with the good news on the programme here tonight. And there's certainly good news for some people in Ireland. And if you've got any relations in Cork, stay tuned. We'll bring you news about a big lotto win there. But we'll open up the programme tonight with Sean Keane, man from Carlistran, County Galway. And he's singing a lovely song here called There Were Roses.
My song for you this evening, it's not to make you sad, nor for adding to the sorrows of our troubled northern lands. But lately I've been thinking and it just won't leave my mind. I'll tell you of two friends one time who were both good friends of mine. Isaac Scott from Baby, he lived just across the fields, a great man for the music and the dancing and the reels. MacDonald came from south of Man to go to Magnusville, and we'd often meet on the Ryan Road and laugh. Fill the air. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people ran together. Now Isaac, he was Protestant and Sean was Catholic born, but it never made a difference, for their friendship it was strong. And sometimes in the evening when we heard the sound of drums, we said they won't divide us, we always will be one. Now the land our fathers ploughed in, the soil it is the same, and the places where we say our prayers have just got different names. We talked about the friends who died, we hoped there'd be no more. It was little then we realized the tragedy in store. It was on a Sunday morning when the awful news came round. Another killing had been done just outside Canberra town. We knew that Isaac danced up there, we knew he liked the band. But when we heard that he was dead, we just could not understand. Gathered at the graveside on a cold and rainy day, the minister, he closed his eyes and for no revenge he prayed. And those of us who knew him from along the Ryan Road bowed our heads and said a prayer for the rescue of his soul. Filled the countryside, there was fear in every home, and later
to make you sad, after adding to the sorrows of our troubled northern lands. But lately I've been thinking and it just won't leave my mind. I'll tell you of two friends one time who were both good friends of mine. Now I don't know where the moral is or where the song should end, but I wonder just how many wars are fought between good friends. And those who gave the orders, they are not the ones to die. It's Scott and MacDonald and the likes of you and I.
Yes, Sean Kane, and there were roses, and welcome along if you've tuned in to Ireland Calling. Well, since we were on air last week, news was breaking about a lottery win, the biggest lottery prize in Ireland. Ireland has their own lottery each week, which prizes about 5 or 6 million, but it's also part of a European lottery system. And every now and again, the jackpot goes up to quite a bit of money, and it's capped when it gets to 250 million. So it's been capped at 250 million euro for the last few weeks, but not any longer, because in the late hours of last Wednesday, news broke that the winning ticket was sold in Ireland. And by early the following morning, news was even getting better if you were from Munster, and even better still if you were from Cork, because somebody in the Cork city won 250 million euro. So the ticket was bought at a Centra shop in Shandon. The shop has been in the same family for about three generations. And of course, they get a prize of 25,000 euro for selling the winning ticket. But as we go to air this week, there's still no news on who won the big prize of 250 million. It'll be a huge change in that person's life if it was an individual, and everybody's hoping that it might be a syndicate, but who knows. We know back in 2005 Dolores Kane, I think, was it? Not Dolores Kate, not Dolores O'Riordan, I'm getting my Dolores's mixed up, but she was from Limerick, and she won another big lottery prize, and of about 105 million, but it's certainly not up there with 250 million. So let's hope the person that won it has good luck, and no doubt will be donating quite a bit of it to charity. So if you have any connections in Cork, you haven't caught up with relations there for a while, now might be a good time to get back in touch with them. All right, we're going to continue on, and this time we're going to have Galway Bay, a version sung by the Celtic women.
Again, the ripple of the trout stream.
You're listening to Ireland Calling, and that was Galway Bay, where the sun was shining brightly last week. Of course, the weather in Ireland over the last few weeks has been fantastic, a really good spell of weather, with the record temperature set last Thursday in the west of Ireland in Roscommon, 29.5 degrees. So, as they say, over in the west, the turf and the hay will be drying, but over the weekend, some rain came. But worrying time for farmers, especially farmers and the fruit and veg market on the East Coast. They haven't really had any decent rain for the last 7 weeks. And I heard one of the farm leaders talking about it on the radio the other day, saying that it's a really big worry now that we haven't got a decent amount of rain, which we need to keep the land fertile. And if we get a week or two of fine weather in Ireland, of course, the farmers and everybody else start crying out for rain. Well, the other big news over the weekend, or at the end of last week, was the announcement of the death of Lord Henry Mancharles. Those of us here that lived in Ireland in the 80s, you might have gone to the odd concert at Slane Castle. He had his first one there back in 1981 when Ken Lizzy were the main act, and this one of the support groups was an up-and-coming band called U2. And it was at a strange time in Irish history, because the troubles were happening in the north. We know 81 was the year that all the hunger strikers died, and with Lord Henry Mancharles being of aristocracy, even though he was born in County Meath, He inherited or took over the family farm and estate at a relatively young age after studying in England and Harvard. And the farm and the estate had big debt. So to alleviate that, he started, first of all, renting out the castle to be made in movies, but later came up with the idea of holding concerts. And it was a fantastic venue, and 105,000 people went to see Bruce Springsteen there. Rolling Stones played, Elton John played, of course U2 played a few times, and the last big concert I had 2 years ago was Harry Styles, when there was about 90,000 people there. But Lord Henry Moncharles had been unwell for the last 10 years, having suffered from lung cancer, only 74, but certainly many great tributes being paid to him over the last few days. And I know that the castle, him and his family founded or set up a small whiskey distillery, and that was bought out by a big international conglomerate a few years ago, and upwards of 50 million has been invested. So the no doubt the castle and its estate and the Mount Charles's family are doing quite well. Okay, we'll continue on, and this time we'll Johnny McEvoy, Johnny who turned 80 this year, and Johnny's introducing a song here called The Ballad of John Williams.
As you know, this year is the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the great Titanic. I'm not going to tell you all the story of the Titanic, you know very well, it's linked so much to this city, this great city up here. But I wrote this song about a young man by the name of John Williams. The song came to me one night, or early one morning, I should say, traveling across the country about 70 miles an hour in a red transit van. John Williams appeared out of nowhere, and I wrote the song on the back of the van. Now, if you look at the passenger lists of the Titanic, survivors, or those who died, you won't find John Williams there. But you might find somebody like him. And on a dark night, if you listen very carefully, you might hear his voice calling across the ocean. The Ballad of John Williams. When last I saw John Williams, a young man full of pride, to have his bride of just 4 days stand shyly by his side. He laughed and slapped me on the back, said, "Boy, oh, can't you see? I've seen the last of windswept bogs and bogs, the last of me. And the peelers and the landlords and the risings of the moon. And if ever I return again, t'will be to bloody soon. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, wife, sailed away into the night. Where they'll end up, no one knows. Round and round the story said, my friend, I'll take my chance in far-off New York town. They say there's lots of work there, and a good man won't stay down. For with my lassie by my side, we'll build a better home. And when the sea trips over, we never more will roam. So we said farewell upon the quay. There was nothing left to do but to pray for John and his lovely bride, that their dreams might all come true. Rich man, poor man, stand up, no one knows. Round and round the story goes. Lighter that was ever built by man, and they say there's not can sink her, no, not even God's own hand. Man's pride can be his own downfall, but great ships sail from home. And I thought I heard the banshees cry. Chill me to the bone. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, wife, sailed away into the night.
Johnny McEvoy there, and the Ballad of John Williams. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. Now it's time to turn our attention to sport, and there's been a lot happening in Ireland over the last week between rugby, golf and football. And it's coming down to the pointy end of the season in hurling and football. But first of all, we go back to the Lions playing in Dublin on Friday night at the Aviva Stadium. 50,000 sellout. There was people complaining about the price of the tickets, but that didn't seem to worry a lot of people. And of course, many fans came from Scotland, Wales and England. And it was a beautiful evening for rugby, and certainly it was a free-for-all game, but not the result that Andy Fardell and his fellow selectors would have liked, losing 28-24. So this is the first time the Lions had lost the opening game of a series. Of course, this is new that they start playing games at home before they head off. And they open their game on the tour of Australia this weekend when they play the Western Force. But of course, it'll be all the build-up, and the attention will be to the first test in Brisbane on the 19th of July. Better weekend for Rory McIlroy. He finished sixth in the Travellers Championships. And Shane Lowry, distant 45. But he's back in Ireland now, he said, for the first time since January. And of course, all attention will now turn to the British Open, which has been played at Royal Portrush Golf Club. And that's where Shane Lowry won the tournament back there. I think it was 2019. So he'll be hoping he can do a repeat of what happened there. And of course, the big attention later in the year is the Ryder Cup, and Lowry and McIlroy will be part of that European team. Righto, on to GAA and football results from the weekend. Poor old Cavanagh travelled down to Kerry, and they were beaten 320-117. Dublin played Cork and Croke Park. This game was a bit tighter. Dublin eventually winning 119-116. Galway had to travel up to down to Newry, and they had a big win, a big lead at half-time, but eventually winning by 2 points, 226 to Down's 321. And Donegal were at home in Ballybuffet, and they were easy victors over Louth, 222 to 12 points. So then on Monday, the draw was made, and the quarterfinals will take place this weekend in Croke Park. First up on Saturday, Monaghan against Donegal, and Tyrone against Dublin. They're expecting Croke Park to be full for both those games. And then on Sunday, Meath take on my own county, Galway, and that's followed by Armagh versus Kerry. So Armagh, current All Ireland champions, and certainly playing well this season. The second tier Gaelic football competition, the Tasman Cup, the semi-final was held at the weekend. Wicklow 117, Limerick 218, Kildare 113, beaten Fermanagh 9 points. and the final will take place on the 12th of July. And I think that game will probably be in Crow Park. But the biggest shock of the weekend was Dublin Hurlers, with 14 men for most of the game, beaten seven times All-Ireland champions Limerick, 224 to 28 points. This is probably the biggest shock in Gaelic games for many a year. So great for Dublin, and disappointment for Limerick, who were beaten in a penalty shootout against Cork a few weeks ago. So they'll be very disappointed, but I've no doubt Limerick will be back again. Later that evening, on Saturday evening, my own County Galway were in a rebuilding phase, but they'll have to continue rebuilding because they were well beaten by Tipperary. 1-28 to Galway's 2-17. So the All-Ireland Hurling semi-finals takes place on the 5th of July. You have Cork versus Dublin. And the next day, Kilkenny, Tipperary. So Cork are odds-on favourites to win the title this year, having been beaten in a sensational game by Clare last year. And League of Ireland, if you're a follower of League of Ireland, if you're a Shamrock Rovers fan, you'd be very happy there, top of the table with 45 points, Bohemians second with 35, followed by Drogheda United with 30, Bohemians at 36, Drogheda 35, Derry City 34, and Shelburne 31. The biggest shock of the weekend was the fact that Damien Duff decided on Monday, or was it Sunday, that he was bailing out. Of course, Shelburne were winners of the title last year, and they've got a European game coming up in a few weeks' time. So a lot of people felt this could be the end of Duff's management career, resigning abruptly halfway through the season. Not good. Finally, on motorsport, I know we're all talking about Liam Lawson down here and his lack of success this year in Formula 1. But as a young man from Offaly who hasn't even got his driver's licence yet, Alexander Dunn, is born in November 2005, and he's competing in the Formula 2 Championship at the moment, and he's leading that, and he's in a McLaren driver development program. So if he wins Formula 2, there's only one place to go, and that's upwards. But of course, as we all know, in motor racing, you can make a small fortune out of it, but you need a big fortune to start with. So I think this year his dad was saying that to compete in the Formula 2, that's cost about €400,000, but it's a different league to go up to Formula 1. But he's with the McLaren team, so of course connections here with New Zealand. So hopefully that'll bring good news for him, and he'll find some sponsors. All right, we want to continue on with more music. Says he, looking around here for food coming up next. Got a song called Stay for Something, CMAT. And you're listening to Ireland Calling.
Knew that you would light at the time you said it.
Right, well, that was Sea Mat and Stay for Something. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Listen to us in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Christchurch Saturday night, Cappity Coast and Wellington on Sunday evening. And greetings to everybody listening on fannusaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and around the globe. No word yet on who'll be running or selected for the presidential campaign. The new president is going to be elected in October. Michael D. Higgins will have completed two terms of 7 years each. And the only person that said he's canon to run for the presidency is the UFC fighter McGregor. But it's unlikely he'll get the support from local councils or members of the Oireachtas to be nominated. Gerry Adams is mentioned, and Michelle O'Neill, the First Minister of Northern Ireland, she hasn't ruled herself out yet. We know that a former SDLP MP, Austin Curry, he basically put his name in the hat a few years ago. In fact, he was in the running, but didn't succeed. But there's one of the candidates that ran the last time, from Donegal, an entrepreneur that lives in America, Peter Gallagher, I think is his name, he's planning to put his name forward again. So I suppose in a few weeks' time, we'll certainly become more clear who's going to be taken over. Well, we started off the program talking about rugby and the Lions match, how the big crowd turned out at the Aviva Stadium. And I see at the weekend and the Sunday Independent, it led with a story about the RFU multi-million euro spree buying properties all around Dublin 4. And this is the organisation that goes to the government cap in hand looking for money to promote the game in Ireland as well. So I see a big exposure there on all the properties that they bought all around the Lansdowne Road area. The other big news last week was the engagement of Ryan Tuberty to a former Rose Tralee that represented the UK. Ryan, of course, had to lead RTE in disgrace a number of years ago. I see he still hasn't paid back the €150,000 that was he was paid over and above his salary from a deal. But good news for him. He announced his engagement over in the west of Ireland last week. He loves Clifton area. That's where he proposed and ended up getting engaged. So he spread the story with his own column in the Mail on Sunday. What else has been happening in Ireland? Well, of course, the Irish Governor, Micheál Martin, has come out in the last few days saying, I know the attention is on the conflict between Israel and Iran, but we've got the humanitarian crisis that's getting worse and worse in Gaza. So he thinks that it's time, you know, all governments work together and try to alleviate the terrible situation that's happening there. Of course, the Irish politicians will be off on their holidays soon. They usually take a few weeks off from the end of the middle of July to the middle of September last year. Of course, they were all oiling their bikes, as Jackie Healy-Ray used to say, or the chains on their bikes, because they had the election last year. But of course, the government formed with the support of like-minded independents are in power for the next 5 years, unless they bail out. All right, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you the support of the Hugh Green Group. We're going to continue now with another piece of music from Paul Brady. This is a song called Deep in Your Heart.
You were heading
From Strabane. Well, he lived in Strabane for a number of years. His dad was a teacher there, Paul Brady, and Deep in Your Heart. And Paul has two children, a son that lives in the UK, but a daughter that lives in Christchurch. Not sure whether she tunes into Ireland Calling, but I know he's been down here on a number of occasions to visit her and talked about his love for New Zealand. Well, as I said, the fine weather is bringing good news for many people. We're looking at the Farming Independent on Tuesday, beautiful pictures here, lots of different shows happening around the area. People are, farmers are getting their sheep shorn, and it looks like plenty of grass all around the country. Of course, the big show that they have, the equivalent of our field days, is the National Plough Championships, which takes place in September this year. And that's, I think, moving back to Tullamore this year. But throughout the summer months, there's obviously plenty of local farm shows on, and would love me to see quite a few stories here, and farmers out enjoying the fine weather and plenty of green grass in the background here, and many of the farms featured in the papers, the Farming Independent this week. Fine Gael not having a circus as party unveils its Áras timetable. Well, I see Mairead McGuinness is tipped to be the lead contender, but Sean Kilkelly, he's still in contention. Sean Kelly, Sean's a former Uachtaráin upcoming low class Wales GA. He's currently a member of the European Parliament, representing Fine Gael for Munster. And Sean has been here a few times, so he's obviously in the picture, maybe as a possible candidate. And obviously all politicians are united in basically condemnation of all the events that's happening in the Middle East. What else has happened over there? We went through all the sport earlier on, so there's no point in going back in that. But Jim McGuinness, I see, is complaining that Donegal have to travel down and play their game on Saturday. Of course, they played last Sunday, so did Galway. But he felt that they should have been allowed an extra day, but they're taking on Monaghan on Saturday in Croke Park. Right, we'll move on, take another piece of music here. And this is a tribute to Sinead O'Connor after she died, which is almost coming up 2 years ago. She died on the 26th of July. And this is Irish Women in Harmony with a tribute song to her, one of her biggest hits, Nothing Compares to You.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since he took your love away.
Sinead O'Connor's big hit there, Nothing Compares to You, sung by Irish Women and Harmony. And of course, the Irish Women all got together during lockdown, those terrible years, 2021, when people had to work from home and really couldn't go out. And it was a terrible time for all of us, but especially for entertainers, musicians. They weren't able to perform. So out of that, we were all into Zoom calls and stuff. And there was a couple of really good songs put together by a group of Irish female artists, and obviously they all came together and performed that song there as a tribute to Sinead O'Connor, whose anniversary is coming up at the around the third week of July, 26th of July. So what else is happening? Thankfully, all the incidents in Northern Ireland that the anti-immigration hatred that was there around Ballymena a couple of weeks ago has died down. But of course, we're not far away from the 12th of July when all the parades will be happening on the 12th of July. And of course, the build up to it with all these huge big bonfires that starts leading up to the 12th. And every year, there's always one or two people that get seriously injured trying to climb up and place Union Jacks and effigies, or not Union Jacks, they're placing tricolours and effigies of Irish politicians on the top of these bonfires that they set fire to. These bonfires are made of pallets. Some of them are 20, 30 metres high. And of course, there's always tension in the air around that. But the big deal that we had pre the Good Friday Agreement, when people were really marching down into nationalist areas, they've all been stopped. And thankfully now, they cannot march in and terrorize Catholics in areas that really they shouldn't be. But they did it. I remember the Garbahy Road was one incident which was a hotspot for many, many years. Right, we'll take another piece of music and back to 1988 with this song when the Irish soccer team had qualified for the Euros, and they were all off to Germany, and Christy Moore, who has performed many songs, he performed this one called Joxer Goes to Stuttgart.
Thank you very much. It was in the year of 88 in the lovely month of June, when the gadflies were swarming and dogs howling at the moon. On heat on the front here. How it rose, three pigeon sandwiches for Stuttgart we began. Joxer packed his German phrase book and jump plates for the van. Some of the lads had never been away from home before. It was the first time Whacker put his foot outside of Inchicore. And before we left for Europe, we knew we'd need a plan. So we all agreed the Joxer was the man to drive the van. In Germany, the Autobahn was like the long mile road. There was every make a car and van, all carrying the full load. Four transits and hiaces and an old Bedford from Tralee, with the engine overheating from long haul and duty free. Well, there was fans from Ballyfermot, Ballybuck and Ballymun, on the journey of a lifetime, and a crack was 91. Well, Joxer met a German's daughter on the banks of the River Rhine, and he told her she'd be welcome in Ballyfermot any time. A big falsche road, Fräulein. And as soon as we found Stuttgart, we got the wagons in a ring. Sean Oak got out the banjo and Peter played the mandolin. Oh, there was fans there from everywhere, attracted by the sounds of the first flag here in Europe, and Joxer passed the flag and round. But the session had ended when we'd finished all the stout. The air mattresses inflated and the sleeping bags rolled out. As one by one we fell asleep, Joxer had a dream. He dreamt himself and Jack Charlton sat down to pick the team.
Jocks are dreamt, they both agreed, and Paddy Bunner straight away. And that Moore and Whelan and McGrower certain did play. But tempers, they began to rise, patience weren't in. Jack wanted Cascarino, but Jockser wanted Quinn. And the dream turned into a nightmare. Jockser stuck the head in Jack, who wanted to bring Johnny Giles and Eamon Dunphy back. Oh, well, the cock crew in the morning, it crew but loud and shrill, and Jockser woke up in his sleeping bag many miles from Arbor Hill. And next morning, none of the experts gave us the slightest chance. They said that the English team would lead us on a merry dance. Oh, with their Union Jacks, all them English fans, for victory they were set. Until Ray Houghton got the ball and he stuck it in the net.
Hey! Thank you! Lovely.
What happened next is history, brought tears to many eyes. Oh, that day will be the highlight of many people's lives. Well, Jockser climbed right over the top, and the last time he was seen was arm in arm with Jack Charlton, singing revenge for Skibbereen. And a whacker's back in Inchicore, he's living with his mam. And Jack Charlton has been proclaimed an honorary Irishman. Yeah, listen. Do you remember the German's daughter on the banks of the River Rhine? Lord, yes, didn't she show up in Ballyfermot last weekend?
I'll see you again soon. God bless.
Christy Moore there, and Jockser Goes to Stuttgart, a big hit back in 1988 when Ireland qualified for the first tournament for many years. And I think beat England in the first game, but they went on then, had more success 2 years later with Italy 1990. Well, that's about it for another week. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Wherever you listen tonight, you've enjoyed the last hour, all the music and the news, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same place. We'll leave you tonight with Ellen Pipe playing of the late Liam O'Flynn and Newfoundland. For me, I'll say good night, goodbye, and God bless.